Cinema Jaws brought to you this week by Deals Gap, a new book by D.H. Weems. Dolan Zapta never expected a motorcycle ride through the Appalachian Mountains to turn into an international chase to save his best friend Mark Thrasher, but it did. He never expected to be having breakfast with the person who pulled Mark off his motorcycle 2 years ago, either. Maddie looked well-kept for someone 170 years old. Deals Gap is a new book by D.H. Weems that revolves around motorcycles, a famous highway, and Native American legends. You can find it on Amazon or wherever fine books are sold online. You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever. Recorded on location this week at Little Cabin Films, and we are in the garage by their skate ramp. My name is Matt Kane. With me is
Rye, the movie guy. And this week on Cinema Jaw, Matt, we hop in the back of a car or a van or jump on a bike as we cover our top five favorite movie vehicles.
I'm excited, man.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I feel like Billy Ocean, and you can get in my car, Rye.
Hey, not bad.
Thank you.
Nice tune. We are doing this in honor of having a couple of great guests coming back on the Jaw. Nick Numerdor and Andrew Morgan, who were back on, we got to throw it in the Jaw box right away.
Jaw box.
I mean, it's been about 2 years ago. They came on to talk about their movie. It's a documentary entitled Vannin.
Yeah.
And it's all about the culture of people who are into their vans and decking them out and going to these huge vanning conventions that I didn't even know were existed.
Yeah, man. And you know what the best thing is? We can smoke this week.
Yes, we are outdoors, so Matt is lighting up. That is the sound effect of Matt lighting his cigarette. He has never been more excited, Jawheads.
No, but I'm excited to talk about this movie, too. I am a big documentary fan, and I supported this thing on Kickstarter. I've been watching them develop it from the beginning, and now it's out, so I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, I just got done watching it on Sunday night, and it's such a treat. And I can't wait to ask him some of the questions about these unique individuals they met while they were covering the Vannin culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And on top of that, they own a van themselves. I just saw it out front. I took a few pictures we'll have to post up on Instagram.
Can't wait.
We have theater reviews of Calvary and Lucy, Scarlett Johansson's new film. Also, in addition to that, you will be taking on Nick and Andrew in honor of the new football movie coming out, The Game Stands Tall. You'll be taking them on in football coach movie trivia.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to die.
Plus,
I know these guys aren't into football either, though, so maybe I'll live.
Well, there's a lot of famous actors who have played coaches, so I think you guys are in luck. Plus, on top of that,
there's more?
There are.
Oh, my God.
It's a jam-packed jaw. Plus, since we had these guys here, I wanted to tell them, and the Game Stands Tall coming out, football movie, but it's obviously baseball is so much better when it comes to a dramatic, as a dramatic source material, as a sport goes. No, I'm right.
You are.
It's baseball.
What football. Do you think it is? Football.
Come on.
Yeah, way
they
more
never
exciting.
Get a good football movie out.
Cinema War.
Oh boy. Going to be button heads here on Cinema Jaw for sure. So really quick, too, before we bring in Nick and Andrew, a couple months ago, maybe even a year ago, we used to do a Cinema Jaw riddle. And now lately, we've gotten all this merchandise to hand out. So we've go out every time.
I'm not going to do the echo sound effect again. That was just cheesy.
Play trivia. We hand it out to the Jawheads through the mail. And we want to continue this. And
sure.
We have a bunch of leftover stuff.
I think the guys were going to throw in a copy of Vannin,
too. You're damn right they are. Yeah. This is even better. Nick and Andrew gave a DVD copy of their movie, Vannin, which is going to go to the winner. What we're going to do is give you a Cinema Jaw riddle. Write in if you guys think you know the answer. You can hit us up on Facebook at Cinema Jaw.
The tweets. The Twitterizer.
Or even email us, mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. So any way you can get the answer to us, your name will be in a hat. We will draw a winner. So if you know the answer to this riddle, you have a chance of winning Vannin on DVD plus a prize pack of your choosing.
Are you going to read it right now?
You're reading it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm reading it. Here we go, guys. Here is the Cinema Jaw riddle of the month. I have made my own car. At times, I like to leave my robe on. I have robbed banks with the guy who played Dirty Harry. And just a few years ago, I played a guy with one eye. Who am I?
Boy, that's a tough one, man.
It's, conundrum.
You probably don't even know who it is.
I don't.
Oh. Jawheads, please, if you have Twitter pulled up and you think you know the answer to that riddle, shoot us a tweet. You have a chance to win Vannon on DVD plus a prize pack of your choosing. So without further ado, we bring in our guests, the directors of Vannon, Nick Numidor and Andrew Morgan. A, congratulations on the film, and B, welcome to Cinema Jaw.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's good to be back.
And congrats on your 200 episodes.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know if I've done 200 of anything.
It took a long time to get there. We're closing in on 5 years here on Cinema Jaw.
I've done 200 push-ups in my whole life.
Far out.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of a long time to get there, it definitely took a long time to get to a finished project of Vannon. Because when we talked to you guys, would you not say it was over 2 years ago when we spoke to you guys and you guys were in the process of making Vannon? All that time, a lot of it had to go into post-production. Give us a little feel of Vannon and how long it took and the relief of finally getting it out.
All right. So, yeah, not to tread old, you know, old ground or whatever from a couple years ago, but we shot it in 2012 at the 40th Vannon Nationals. This year, we attended the 42nd Vannon Nationals, so it has been a couple of years. In that time, we had a successful Kickstarter campaign in which we were able to raise all the funds to go to post-production, basically. It was to hire an editor, do color correction, sound work, and all that. Gosh, Nick, how long do you think that we edited it for? Maybe 3-4 months, something like that? We had a really great source in our editor, Chris Nelson, who we should really talk about briefly for a moment. He was really great and was willing to work with us night after night. And you can imagine working with two directors who have a cohesive vision, but also, you know, two separate opinions about things, too. He was
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, he was a real trooper, you know, so I want to call him out for sure. But so it was quite a while editing. We figured we'd be done by spring of 2013, and
we thought we'd be done in like a month or two. We had intentions to only make like a 10 to 20 minute film, and we edited about the first 20 minutes together, kind of almost as you see it in the feature, and we realized we hadn't even scratched the surface of like what we had captured. So at that point we decided to shoot for 60 minutes or 40 minutes, and this kind of kept growing. I think we got it up to 80 and then cut it down to 60.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So it was basically April through November of last year.
Yeah, so that's right. Okay, you're correcting me. It was, we thought we would be done by like July, you know, like a couple month edit. And then it really took till November. We had our Chicago sneak preview, which sort of acted as a premiere as well. But we, you know, the film festival game, you got to call it a sneak preview. Yeah, it really took right up until then to get our finished product. And even after that, you know, even after our November thing here in Chicago, which was awesome, and I want to thank everybody for coming out, we still changed things after that. So, you know, it's been such a work in progress, and it's awesome to see it finished now and, you know, be able to get it out to the people that were interested in seeing it in the first place. So,
and what's interesting, too, when you guys were on the show back a couple of years ago, we actually covered subculture films. And it was our top five. And you guys had to realize you had almost gold here because no one had really tapped into this culture of Vannon.
Well, not in many, many years anyway.
Right now.
Since the 70s.
Right.
Really.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And we really touched film that? In our film.
Yeah. You know, we always tell people it's been 40 years or something since there's been any media on Vannon.
Right.
You know, one interesting story. Okay, so we have one of the last films that we know about that was produced by a company, B.F. Goodrich's film Freewheelin', which was, you know, made to promote Vannon and sell tires, I'm sure. But even after that, you know, there were magazines, a whole publishing industry that was based off of Vannon. You know, you had Truckin' Magazine, Vans and Trucks was another one. All these things went away over the years.
Trucks and Vans.
Is that it? Okay. I reversed
it. Two magazines.
Trucks got top billing.
Trucks and Vans, Vans and Trucks. But in any case, all I'm trying to say there is that, you know, Truckin' Magazine is still around to this day, but they probably haven't, you know, they've done very, very little Vannon coverage. So, yeah, there's been kind of this hole in this gap in the media with Vannon.
In that film, when you go back and you see how many people were going to the Vannon convention, I think there's something like 5,000 people.
Back in the 70s.
Right.
I've heard all kinds of numbers. 5,000 Vannon, 7,500 Vannon. So you're talking maybe 20 to 30,000 people.
And now when you guys are going to film, you know, 2 years ago, we're down to maybe 500 Vannon or 500 people. And right. And was it sort of sad to you guys knowing that how rich the Vannon culture was? Was it sort of a depressing thing, or was it still a celebration of the Vannon that sort of overwhelmed that?
Well, I think at first for me, you know, it was kind of like melancholy at first, you know. It's kind of like, oh, you know, this whole thing is past and, you know, this and that. It's something that's, you know, that these people are hanging on to. But, you know, there's something very bittersweet in all that. And I think that, you know, it changed my mind hanging around these van conventions, as you put them, or the National Trucking, or, you know, things like that. It became kind of amazing to see how they've banded together over the years. And, you know, they might be smaller, but they're tighter knit than they've ever been.
Yeah, because in the beginning of the film, which, by the way, I really enjoyed, it almost feels like, and you guys sort of address this, it almost feels like it's going extinct, you know, which is, it is, it's melancholy, it's sad, because it used to be in the 70s, this huge, big, and maybe it was a fad, I don't know. But it's definitely not as popular as it once was. Do you, having been exposed to that scene, think it's coming back?
It seems to have a little wind behind it right now. It might be growing ever so slightly. There's two independent magazines and now the documentary. And just the internet has really brought new vanners to the topic. And then as well as bringing old vanners back, you know, via Facebook and stuff, these people can, like, find their friends that they, you know, had at the truck in from 71 to 80 or whatever.
Which is
like,
good.
You know, those people may have left to, you know, raise their kids or, you know, get a real job or whatever. And now they're coming back to, you know, barbecue with their old friends and share old memories. And they're just having a great time with it. And yeah, I love the vanners.
Absolutely.
When I was watching the movie, there was a lot of crazy rituals that happen at the van and parties here. And one of them was, and there's a lot, like I said, but one of them was where they mix a bunch of alcohol and I think it's food inside a bowl and they let it marinate and then they all pass it around and drink it. Now, when you guys are there and you're filming and you're sort of part of the group, do you guys participate in some of these rituals with the individuals?
I definitely participated. Oh, yeah. It was called the bucket.
Oh, jeez.
And
that doesn't
since
sound
then,
good.
Many people have brought us the bucket. We were just selling merchandise at this year's Pass Van Nationals and this girl just walked up with a bucket and was like, here you go. We're like, sweet. So
yeah, there's all different kinds of buckets from different regions. I think that it originates in the East Coast, if I'm not mistaken. I'll probably get slayed for that if it's not true, but I think the bucket originates in the East Coast. We've tried tequila bucket, we've tried Jack Daniel's bucket. A funny story about the first time I tried the bucket, which is, we actually have footage of it, didn't make the film, but
we had no idea what we were getting into.
We had no clue what was in the bucket. And, you know, these guys are talking about the bucket. And this guy goes, you know, should we tell him the secret of the bucket?
One person's, two person's, three person's, four person's.
Right.
Any you know, number of persons can have a bucket.
Right. But, you know, they were talking about what's the secret ingredient, you know, should we tell him the secret ingredient of the bucket? And at that point, my mind went racing to, like, right. Is it LST? Is it like this or that? So I just took the tiniest.
Bodily fluids?
Yeah, I just took the tiniest sip of the bucket, you know, not knowing what we were going to get into. And, you know, thinking in the back of my mind we had to film for five more days, so you know, but I think it's just booze and fruit, so
yeah, it's pretty safe.
Yeah, and the other question I had too, as far as like modern day when they're meeting still and it's a little bit smaller, like you show the old school video, they had all these awesome like contests going on where they played almost like tug of war with the vans. It didn't seem like there was so much going on anymore. Was there more of that still where they had like competitions and such outside of, you know, grading the vans? I mean, like those kind of like tug of war type deals.
Yeah, they still have like what they call the adult games. There's actually, you know, now that they've all grown up and, you know, had kids and things like that, there's actually kids games too. They do adult games and it's, you know, playing a game of bags and horseshoes and things like that. I haven't seen any tug of war or anything like that.
They do a Vancana, yes, where it's kind of like an obstacle course. They haven't been at the Nationals that I've seen recently, but at some other of our screenings at other truck ends, it's basically an obstacle course for your van. Oh, so you're nice. Backing up in between cones and, you know, doing a bunch of maneuvers. And then there's a burnout contest.
I love the
burnout
contest.
And then what was the thing
contest
this year? It was like a sled race or something?
It was called the Hood Drags. Yeah, so we saw this year for the first time. It was called the Hood Drags, and they take an old hood of a van, I assume, and they put a lady on it, and two guys have to drag it via ropes, you know, from point A to point B, and whoever makes it there first wins. So that's called the Hood Drag.
That's awesome.
I mean, some of these guys, though, I mean, some of them are ancient dudes. I mean, they're going to have a heart attack dragging ladies on.
Oh, they're still straight-up beer chugs, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
And did anybody, I have to ask, did the guy who has the Star Wars van called the Death Star, does he win anything for that? I mean, the thing's beautiful. But yeah. I don't know if you won a prize.
There's an art competition, too, right? That was part of the...
Yeah, I mean, man, the categories are numerous, and it's all, you know, they... Gosh, the judging.
Very inclusive.
Yes, and the judging, really, I mean, you got to give those guys props. They're out there judging all these different classes of van, Chevy, Ford, Dodge, and then certain eras of that van. And then, you know, there's best overall, there's best exterior, you know, there's all these different categories. But I think to answer your question about the guy with the Star Wars van, the Death Star, as it's called, he may have won Best in Show that year.
Ooh, I think nice. He may have.
Or Best Radical, because that would be
Radical Custom.
A Radical Custom, because it's been modified in sure. so many ways. But he actually, you know, we've seen him the last 2 years as well. He's another returning character to the Van Nationals, and we've gone to the 41st and 42nd now.
God, you guys really might have some gold on your hands here. This could be like a show. I mean, like, let's return to this every year, you know?
That's interesting. That's what I was going to ask. Have you guys actually screened this film for the Vanning community?
Many times, yeah. Yes. We were really, really scared. We premiered it in Chicago, like a sneak preview kind of thing. The whole audience was full of Vanners, and we were scared to death. We're like, how, you know, if we portrayed them in a positive light or whatever, and, you know, they just love it. The Vanners love the film.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They feel like that we've captured who they are, at least from the people I've talked to. You know, I can't speak for all of them, obviously, but... You know, and another thing, too, just about that, I just wanted to say, you know, on that note with the Chicago screen and how many Vanners were in the audience, that's something that's really amazing about them as a group, you know, is that they come out in full force, in full support of whether it be a film or a magazine or anything, you know. It once again, is a very tight-knit community of people that really support one another.
We had people from 7 states or something. Someone flew in from California and down south and...
That's
any
awesome.
Number of things. But yeah, it's been real positive. People shake my hand, give me hugs. I've had a guy with like tears in his eyes kind of saying like, you like now I can tell my family, you know, what I've been doing all these years and like it'll make sense.
That's awesome, man. So now that the film is done, I mean, I'm a huge junkie of documentaries on Netflix. So what's the plan? I mean, is there a distribution plan? Are you guys going to get this out there, get it on Netflix? What are the next steps?
Right now, it's a DIY, a do-it-yourself, just the way it's been made. We're self-releasing it. We're just selling it off our website, and then we have it on Vimeo On Demand, which is a new feature that Vimeo is offering, which basically, if you own the rights to your movie, you can basically sell it on there for a price that you want or rent it. And Vimeo's on like all the big players and Roku and all that stuff.
Yeah, so, not hard to get to.
Yeah, seemed like the right option for us. We've had several distribution places contact us, and no luck yet, but we're doing fine.
Well, I think this is one of the... It's of the highest quality. I've seen, like I said, a lot of documentaries on Netflix. This is certainly, production-wise, just as good as any of them and better than quite a few. So I really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I have to say to the jawheads listening to this that are trying to get a feel for it still, if you don't know the Vanning culture, think of like whenever you see a really interesting documentary on a subculture or a culture that you're not familiar with, they have fun with it in a way because the characters are so rich in this film. I mean, they're so unique that you're going to laugh right when it starts. But after a while, you start to understand them. And that's, I think, the beauty of the film. So by the end of it, they don't seem so strange anymore. You sort of got to know them, and you got to know their culture, and you sort of see why they're going out there doing this for 40 straight years. And I think that's a tribute to you guys.
Oh, thanks. And that's, you know, as being on the filmmaking end of it, that's all we could really ask for, because that was our experience in it, you know. I think we kind of went in with preconceived notions, and we even have Howard, you know, hi, Howard, who... you know, says right in the film there, you know, a lot of people see us as, you know, the shag and wagon creeper van,
right.
You know, they have a stereotype. And I think we went in thinking we were going to capture some of that stereotype. And then as soon as we met people and spent some time with them, you know, they became very endearing and, you know, and in fact, to this day, dear to us as friends. So
yeah, there's this beautiful moment that you guys have in the film where I don't know what exactly is transpiring because I'm not up to date with my van terminology, but the van is basically burning its wheels with the smoke.
It's the burnout, man.
Is that the burnout?
Contest,
okay, I wanted to
yeah.
make sure. And you guys overlay this beautiful music at it. It's a beautiful scene in the film. At that point, I think as a viewer, I started to turn and I was like chuckling at a lot of the stuff. And then from that point on, I was like, man, I want to know what the hell that 2% means. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. By the end, I was invested in wanting to know and learning more and sort of understanding why they're so involved with their vans. So I think that was pretty well done on your end.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. High marks, guys. It's a great movie.
So for the jawheads listening to this at home, for the vanning people listening to this at home that want to get involved and check out your film, the best place to buy it online and support local filmmakers is?
Vanningmovie.com.
Yep, I believe we have links there. We have a store set up on a website called Big Cartel. So it's littlecabinfilms.bigcartel.com, and that's where you can get the DVD and our other merch.
So before we move on to the next segment, guys, what's next? What's in the pipe for you?
Still cracking away at that skate park documentary. Kind of hit the back burner. Or I think, you know, a couple years ago I had mentioned that I was working on one. I think our last time we shot was around Labor Day last year. So, post-production this winter, and then maybe another Kickstarter or some fundraising for some post-production.
Let us know. We're gonna get some sounds of you skating here because we're recording by the ramp. Can't pass up the opportunity.
Excellent.
Awesome. So Nick and Andrew are going to be hanging out on this entire jaw. They have their top five favorite vehicle movies. What better topic when we're talking about a Vannon documentary, Matt, than movie vehicles?
How about it?
I love it. Unfortunately, we did come across some sad news this week, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say about the passing of Robin Williams? He was an absolute titan in the industry, one of the funniest people alive. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was dubbed the funniest person alive at one point. Obviously, he had some mental health issues that he couldn't overcome, and his loss is deeply felt, not only in Hollywood, but I think by all the fans out there, which I count myself among, and it's a bummer.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm sort of mad at myself that I think when he was alive, when we've talked about great actors and versatile actors, he never really came up. Well, and I don't talk about him so much.
I mean, listen, to be completely honest, sometimes he could be annoying because he was so amped.
Over the top. Yeah.
But I mean, there's no doubt he was a genius.
Oh, no doubt. And when all these tributes came out and you see all his film roles, how great he was, be it comedy in Mrs. Doubtfire or Birdcage, and how serious he could be in the serious roles such as Good Will Hunting, I thought, man, this guy was quite the talent. And definitely will be missed. Very sad story. I thought it'd be really good if we went around really quick and named your favorite Robin Williams movie.
Well, I'll start. I mean, I named this in the article I put on our blog, and my favorite is Awakenings. I've seen that movie a bunch of times, probably at least 10 times. And he plays alongside Robert De Niro, who also turns in a great performance. And the thing is, this is Robin Williams at his most subdued. And it's you can tell it's difficult for him. So it's an acting challenge, and every once in a while, he lets just a little tiny hint of that bubbly gregariousness come through, but it's very, very controlled. It's a great movie, and I love it.
Andrew?
I got to say The Fisher King. I love The Fisher King. I mean, it's tour de force for him. It's him being Robin Williams, but I don't know, in a different way. There's something intangible about his performance in that, and you know, the combination of him and Jeff Bridges and Terry Gilliam, I think it's just a winning combination. It's one of my favorite Robin Williams films.
Nick? Sure. I guess I'll have to go with Miss Doubtfire because I saw that film dozens and dozens of times. Probably wore out the VHS tape when I was growing up. So, I mean, no one else could really play the character like he did. He was just kind of like primed for that role, and it led from, you know, all kinds of roles afterwards. And I was way into kind of silly comedies growing up, so he was the best.
Yeah, I love how versatile our lists are here. I actually go with Good Will Hunting because I actually think when I've rewatched the film as of late, he is really the glue that makes that movie what it is. I think without his character being so believable, and that speech he gives Matt Damon where he talks about how, you know,
going to see about a girl.
Oh, that's great. No, that's great too. But where he talks about how he can read a book about being an orphan, but he doesn't know what it's like to walk in his shoes. It's so powerful, and it's amazing that he could do comedy so well and be serious and pull off the drama.
Yeah.
I loved it. We threw this question out onto the jawheads right after the news broke, and we got a ton of responses. Yeah. So we can only name a few. We literally got over 50, so just name a few there, man.
Okay, so Allison Jones, who often writes into us, who's at @ajones_sd, said, "Everything, even when you shouldn't like it, Robin Williams was one of a kind. TV should be remembered." So she mentions Comic Relief and Mork and Mindy. Eric Teachman, who is at New Methos, said, "Robin Williams broke my heart in Fisher King," agreeing with you, Andrew, "and put it back together again in Hook. and Aladdin. Matt Shivers, who is at Matt Shivers VO on Twitter, said, good morning, Vietnam.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Sheldon Stevens, who is at Sheldon2005, said, Patch Adams, Blue Skies became one of me and my wife's favorite songs because of this movie. Sean McQuilkin, who is at Sean_McQuilkin, said, love all his hits, obviously, but his sleeper movie that sticks out and is the saddest movie ever is What Dreams May Come, a favorite. I agree.
We got time for one more.
One more. All right, I'm going to go to Donnie Rodriguez. I don't know if I've ever heard of this guy. He is at Donnie Rad on Twitter, and he said, world's greatest dad.
Nice.
But he had so many, too.
He did.
World According to Garp was mentioned, and I mean, just a bunch. He was definitely a big figure in Hollywood, made a lot of great movies. Even his Insomnia, which a lot of people poo-pooed, I thought was really good. And I wanted to see him explore horror and psychological thrillers a little bit more. He did... One hour photo,
another great one.
Which was really, I don't know if it was great or not. It was very art house and kind of slow moving, but a lot of people really loved it. It's kind of a divisive film, so yeah. I don't know.
His performance is still great in it.
It's very creepy. There's no doubt he was good.
He will be missed, Matt. He will be missed.
Indeed.
But we are celebrating film, so let's celebrate film, because that's what he was part of. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So me and Matt both got out and caught Lucy.
Hello?
Yes, I have important information about a group of drug traffickers. I need to speak with someone in a position of authority.
Uh-huh. You're very lucky. There's no one with more authority in this office than me.
What is your name?
Listen up, Pierre Del Rio. Get off your desk, sit in your chair, pick up the red pen to the left of you, and take down everything I say. There are no cameras. Hurry up. I have no time to waste.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be sending you the details of three people about to arrive in Europe. Each one is carrying a kilo of drugs. I need you to arrest them and collect the substance. I'll need it for later.
What form are these drugs in? Bars, capsules?
Powder. Hidden in plastic pouches inside their intestines.
Excuse me?
Make sure to be careful when you remove them. The product is very powerful. Believe me.
Matt, let me start off by saying you do not need 100% of your brain's capability to know that Lucy is not that great of a movie. Scarlett Johansson becomes infused with a new experimental drug that increases her brain power, which not only lets her read fast, but can also control other people. That's part of the problem I had with this film, was that I did not understand what she could or could not do when using, say, 50, 60, or 70% of her brain. Morgan Freeman plays a professor who has written many theories on the full power of the brain. Meanwhile, the evil drug lords who are using Johansson as their drug mule are after her and the remaining drug pouches. There was just too much silliness to take the plot seriously. There were elements that I did like, such as infusing cuts of nature videos that are mimicking the human behavior of our main characters. The crazy ending that involves a huge shootout coinciding with Lucy turning into something we humans cannot understand summed up this movie. Big ideas, but very, very messy. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 2 Jaws.
Yeah, so I think my tweet on this was that Lucy in anybody else's hands would have been a piece of shit. In Luc Besson's hands, it was just kind of a piece of shit.
he elevated it a little bit.
And he wrote it, too. So I love Luc Besson. I love The Fifth Element. And I really especially love Leon the Professional. That one is one of my favorite movies. But even he and... Ah, man, the writing is really what the flaw is. I mean, listen, guys, this is like 10th grade science at this point. We do use 100% of our brain. It's just we don't use it all at the same time. You know, this whole 10% of your brain thing is bullshit. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I mean, if you use 100% of your car at the same time, including the moving the mirrors and rolling up and down the windows, it'd be cacophony. It'd be chaos. You use the part that you need for that exact moment, and then the next moment you use a different part. It's that simple. So the MacGuffin in the movie is so crappy science bullshit, I'll say it again, that I couldn't get over how stupid it was. And maybe it's just because I watched the Mythbusters too much. I don't know. But I lost me there. I really did enjoy the cuts the to the animals and the 10%, 12%, 15%.
Right. And on that note, I was going to say, they use a very simple device that we see in films where Morgan Freeman is given a lecture about the power of the brain. And in between the
exposition,
there are cuts of Johansson waking up to using more power of her brain, just as he's explaining what could possibly happen. So it's almost a voiceover at this point, but it's used as like we're seeing his lecture at the same time. Yeah. And as simple as that is, I still enjoyed it because at that point it was like interesting to see what could happen. I think right after that, it just went off the hinges. I'd give this movie a pretty quality grade, I'd say, about 30 minutes into the movie. And then from the rest of it was just like pure garbage.
Yeah, I think if you want to see a movie where unlocking the human potential is the theme, Limitless, right, with Bradley Cooper is the far superior movie. I did like some of the directorial style that Luc Besson brought to the movie.
Yeah, some of the filming was beautiful.
Yo, absolutely. And I mean, he's a great director, but I just think he needs to get a writing partner, and especially if he's going into the science fiction area, which he knocked out of the park with Fifth Element. But for this one, he just dropped the ball.
And one other flaw that I had with this movie was the fact that, okay, she's supposed to be getting smarter and smarter, yet she does a lot of dumb things throughout the film. I like seeing someone being an expertise in their field, and then we see why when they go into a certain area, robbing a bank, it might be, and born or whatever it might be. But in this case, she walks into a hospital with a gun just loaded. It's already sort of dumb because she's all over cameras. And the worst part of it is the enemy at the end that is going to have the big confrontation at the end, she could take him out, not spoiling anything. She sees this guy about 15 minutes later into the movie, and she lets him live. If she's that smart, why not execute him? There was no reason he should have been alive.
And we should mention that that's Choi Min-sik from Old Boy.
Right.
Yeah.
But he should have been knocked off 15 minutes. You know, if she's using even 30% of her brain at that point, it made no sense other than, hey, let's make a dramatic movie and make sure this guy stays alive until the very end.
Because you were only using like 2% and you even caught on to that.
Yeah, exactly. Well put. I give it 2 jaws. Matt, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I think that's actually, I mean, because of the style of the direction, it was kind of fun. So yeah, 2, maybe 2.5.
Yeah, and one note on the ending where she can sort of like go back in time and she's sitting in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful sequence.
Yeah.
I just loved it. Yeah. I mean, and at that point I had already gave up on the film, but I still appreciated that last 5 minutes of the movie.
There's some good moments in an otherwise crappy and not well put together film.
All right. 2 jaws for Lucy. One other film, I caught this thing, I don't know, 3 months ago at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, but it's out now in limited release here in Chicago and across the country, is entitled Calvary. Director John McDonough and actor Brendan Gleeson teamed up back in 2011 for the movie The Guard, and lucky for us, the two are working together again in the new film Calvary. Gleeson plays Father James in a small Irish town. In the opening scene, Matt, a parishioner comes into Father James's confessional booth and says that he is going to kill him at the end of the week. He says he is doing this because he was abused by a priest back when he was a child.
So he's just going to kill a random guy?
Yeah, because he wants to kill a good priest so that the church gets the message. From here, we see Father James visit with many of the quirky town residents who are all battling their own evils. The film has a strange but beautiful mix of dark humor and pressing social commentary. In a challenging way, the movie is clearly making a statement against the Catholic Church for the sexual abuse scandals they have gone through, but on the other hand, is suggesting that there are people who need structural religion in their lives. If you like a movie that gives you something to chew on, seek out Calvary. It is one of the better ones of the year. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 3.5 jaws.
I'm going to rush right out and see it.
You should, Matthew.
I can't wait.
See? Get away from your superhero movies and see something interesting.
I did. I saw Lucy.
And let me just end on that Brendan Gleeson. I love him in, obviously, in
any relation? Any relation to Jackie?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
But this Brendan Gleeson is just the bomb, man. I love him. And he's so spectacular in here. So definitely seek it out, Jawheads, if you're looking for an independent flair. No awesome movie vehicles, but because we have the directors, Nick and Andrew of Vannon, here in studio. I should say on location in their studio.
Yeah,
we are covering our top five favorite movie vehicles. We went off the hinge here. I know, Matt, you were probably thinking way off. Who knows what you were thinking? I went pretty literal with a vehicle.
Everything on my list is a vehicle.
I have some sci-fi stuff on here, but you better not have any spaceships or I'm going to be pissed at you.
We'll see.
All right. Nick, you're getting a start at this week. What do you got as your number five favorite movie vehicle?
Number five for me is the Chrysler Town and Country from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Well played. Honorable mention on my list. There is no better part than when they get pulled over by the cops after the thing is just burned to shreds.
Might be a LeBaron, just saying.
And he says, is there a problem, officer? It's great. Great pick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. We swing it over to Andrew. What do you got sitting at number five?
Oh, number five. I have a huge list here. So let's see. I'm going to go with the Murphmobile from Wayne's World. So I think it's an AMC Pacer that Garth drives.
Yeah. It's got the Twizzler dispenser.
Exactly.
Well, after they get rich.
In Wayne's World, yeah, too. Right. Once they get the money. But, you know, it's just a killer movie car. It's got the smoothie wheels. It's got some flames painted on it and that killer wraparound glass from the AMC era of weird cars. Arguably ugly cars, but, you know.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I was just going to say, I believe there was a famous song that was sang in that car. I love that.
Correct.
I love it.
I think that song went number one after that film again, you know, like 20 years after the fact or something.
I love it. Good pick. Matt, what do you got sitting at number five?
At number five, I have, you're in it, Johnny Cab. The Johnny Cab from Total Recall.
Excellent.
What a bizarre scene that is when he's like, I don't care, I'll just drive, you know. And, and then he rips the Johnny Cab driver right out of it. I mean, it's cool. I mean, we're not too far away from that, right? With Google making self-driving vehicles. So right. And hey, they got inspired by Total Recall.
Could be, because I am so annoyed with the cab drivers here in Chicago that talk on the phone constantly. They all got their earpieces and they're talking to who knows where. And oh, it annoys the hell out of me.
I always like trying to guess what language they're speaking, though.
I'd go with a Johnny Cab over that.
Yeah, I probably would, too.
Nice pick.
Not if they had that freaky animatronic driver, though. That guy was scary. He was really scary. What you got, Ray?
Now, mention, did you put the Batmobile on your list?
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. I did not, just so everybody knows, put the DeLorean on my list. It may come up on somebody else's, and that's fine. I just want to let everybody know, the Jawheads, this is my top five movie vehicles in honor of the DeLorean, because I didn't put it on there for not talking about it. All right.
Excellent.
At number five, I have a 1982 film that came out, aging myself here. I saw it in the theaters. And me and my brother and cousin, we loved it afterwards. The movie is entitled Megaforce.
Why do you always ring yourself, man?
I rang everybody.
Did you mean the ringer? Yeah.
And let me just tell you about this. Okay, it's basically like, special troops go behind enemy lines, and they're rigged up with these super up motorcycles that can fire rockets. Little doom buggies that are firing rockets. And the ending scene, I encourage you, Jawheads, if you're listening at home in front of a computer, pause the podcast. Just type in, if you just type it in on Google, it'll pop up. Ending of Megaforce sees the main character on his motorcycle, which he is rigged to take off and fly, like a flying motorcycle. He catches up with it.
How else would a motorcycle fly?
He catches
but
up
like a flying motorcycle.
He catches up with the plane of all his troops who has left him because he's behind enemy lines. And this, it's just perfect 1982 special effects, him flying right up into the at back of a cargo plane. It's awesome.
That sounds awesome.
I have not seen Megaforce, but it sounds wicked.
Yeah, I got to write that one down.
Definitely do. I'm telling you, it is a true joy, Megaforce 1982. I love this film. You'll have a good laugh with it. That was my number five. We are into our number fours. What do you got sitting there, Nick?
Oh, number four is, I think it's the EM50 Urban Assault Vehicle from Stripes. It's a big old RV that Bill Murray and John Candy and crew, I think they roll into Germany. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but it was a childhood favorite. And I love when they unveil the Urban Assault Vehicle and all the soldiers are kind of like snickering and laughing. And
yeah, I think that's actually like a GMC motorhome from the 70s. That look just totally bizarre, you know, like the stylings of the 70s, again, hearkening back to the van or something. You know, it's arguably ugly, but sort of aesthetically interesting.
I like awesome pick. Yeah. I do too. Not on my list. That's why I like it even more. Not even an honorable for me. We swing it over to Andrew. What do you got sitting at number four?
All right. So for number four, I'm going to go with the Hemi-Cuda. So the Barracuda from Phantasm. I think it's in the first two, and then it gets wrecked or something like that. But it's like this, you know, it's this killer muscle car that they drive around and, you know, go hunt the tall man down with. Love that car. It's just a black Hemi-Cuda.
I'm willing to bet $5 Ry the movie guy has never seen any of the Phantasm movies.
I'll pay you your $5 after the show.
You've never seen them?
Never have.
Yeah, you're missing out, dude. But it's been years. Really?
It's a super fun series.
Stuart Little?
Not Stuart Gordon. Who's the guy from Austin?
Stuart Little?
Jawbox, right?
Jawbox.
I can't think of the director.
Hey, you never
know.
Last week, Elias came
John
through.
John Coscarelli.
Sent us. There you go. Oh, don't even need the Jawbox. Never know, though.
Good, Matt, I don't know how Elias is. I sent him way far away this time.
Yeah, so. Well, we're going to get a call from Elias soon. So, boy, oh boy, Matt, what do you got sitting at number four?
At number four, I have, and I should mention that the Johnny Cab is the only vehicle on my list that is a car. Everything else is no longer a car. So at number four, and this is inspired also by the DeLorean, Rye, the telephone booth from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Ooh,
great.
The Bill and Ted series. I mean, it's kind of a call. It's kind of a callback to the TARDIS, I guess, you know, for the Doctor Who fans out there. But done the American way, the American style. Just throw them in a New York City phone booth. It's hilarious. Fantastic.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but I like it.
Does it move? Does it travel?
I guess so.
It's a vehicle.
Tough crowd. All right, swings us over to my number four. And at my number four, I have a Quentin Tarantino movie. Came out in 2003. I'm speaking of The Pussy Wagon in Kill Bill.
You mean Buck's Pussy Wagon?
Buck's Pussy Wagon.
Nice.
And you know what I love about it, too, is that Quentin Tarantino, I don't know if you guys know this, actually owns the Pussy Wagon, and it's parked in his driveway. And at times, he's been known to go pick up fast food in it with...
What I want to know is, how do you know this?
Because I've heard him on Howard Stern.
Oh, you've never been in the back of the Pussy Wagon?
No, I have not. But he was on Howard Stern, and he asked him if he does own it, and in fact, he does. And it's parked in his driveway. He drives it around Hollywood. He picks up fast food in it. And so now it's taken on a life of its own.
He goes to In-N-Out Burger in the Pussy Wagon?
Yeah. And it really does have that excellent scene, too, where... Uma Thurman is just waking
up from the fight.
Yeah, she comes back from the fight, and the Pussy Wagon is out there, and it's just awesome.
It's a great reveal.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And two, she wiggles her toes in the back seat.
Oh, yeah. So
you know,
she
when she's first
up
coming
hospital,
up. So
right.
The whole thing's awesome. I love the Pussy Wagon. It's like a great joke inside the movie. And that brings us to our number threes. And before we get to our number threes, we had a sponsor come in for our top five this week.
Yeah.
Matt, who is the sponsor of the Cinema Jaw Top 5?
OnScribe.
Tell me more.
OnScribe provides an easy way to add subscriptions to any existing website. OnScribe takes the pain out of setting up payment gateways and makes it a snap for you to add subscription buttons to your site, blog, app, or online game. Plus, OnScribe aggregates all major payment providers, including PayPal, Google Wallet, and Facebook credits, allowing your audience to pick their preferred provider. And they like alliteration, too. Whether you're a blogger or an artist, and you work hard to produce your content. I know we do, Rye.
Damn right.
And although it may be a labor of love, you deserve to get the reward for your efforts. Visit OnScribe for more, and that's OnScribe.be.
We thank OnScribe for their sponsorship of CinemaJaw.
Thanks, OnScribe.
Wow. We are into our threes. Nick, what do you got sitting there?
Ooh, got a big list here. How about the yellow Oldsmobile from the Sam Raimi movies?
The Delta 88?
Is it Delta 88?
I think it might be.
Matt, this might be up your alley. He's talking Sam Raimi.
You're talking about Ash's car.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very good pick, man. I think it's is it a Plymouth?
I think you're right, dude. I think it's an Olds Delta 88. I think it's, I know it's a big boat of a car.
It definitely has a lot in its trunk.
I remember in the early 2000s as the first Spider-Man movie came out and The Gift and stuff. And it just at that point, it kind of like became a thing where you'd like look for it in his movies. So
the
that's,
Easter
it's
egg,
always
yeah.
fun. Yeah.
I like it. Good pick, man.
That is a real deep pick. I'm familiar, but I'm not familiar enough to know the car. But at least I've seen.
Yeah. It's a big yellow car in all the Sam Raimi movies.
Big boat.
I love it. I got to look for it. We swing it over to Andrew. What do you got sitting at number three?
All right. This one's for Matt, I think, because I always heard you like Cherry 2000.
I do, yes.
All right, so I have number three on my pick is the, I think it's like a Mustang from Cherry 2000. It's the car that Cherry drives. And I believe it's like a weird 80s Mustang or something like that. And then, you know, you get in the inside and it's got all these dials and switches and cranks and things like that. I think one of my favorite scenes of that movie when they first take off into the what is it called, man?
I think it's the like Badlands.
The
or the
Zone.
Wasteland.
Yeah, I think it might zone. Be called the Zone
it's
or something.
It's been at least,
you know,
5 years since I've seen it.
And she cranks up on what looks like the emergency brake and the thing just takes off, you
yeah
know, in a flash.
It's got a nitrous or something in there.
So yeah, that's mine.
Awesome. Good pick at number three. Matt, what do you got?
At number three, I have, then this is inspired by the Batmobile, which is not on my list, Iron Man's armor.
Terrible.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely
really?
Absolutely terrible.
Shit, that is
that
not
is,
terrible.
That is a terrible
hey,
pick.
Do you want
a vehicle. That is armor that can fly.
How
it's
is that
not
a vehicle?
It's a vehicle.
It's a vehicle.
Not.
Do you get inside of it?
That's ridiculous.
Do you get inside of it, Ryan?
What are you thinking so outside of the box for?
Do you get inside of it?
Yeah.
Okay, does it move?
Yeah.
Can it fly? It's a vehicle.
It's not a vehicle.
It's absolutely a vehicle. Is it a vehicle? Guys, help me out here.
I mean,
I don't know, man.
Technically,
you don't have me sold. I got to be honest.
Is a jetpack a vehicle?
So,
I don't know. It's weird because it's an extension of yourself, kind of. But I guess you could argue that for a car too. Boy, this debate could go on for a while.
How much time do you guys have? There's no way I'm letting you slide.
Not only is it a vehicle, it is one of the best movie vehicles ever. Because every kid who watches the Iron Man films wants to get a set of Iron Man armor.
They
and
do
fly through the sky. Absolutely, I know.
I'd rather any one of the cars that we've mentioned so far today.
Yeah, who needs a car when you can just like rock it around and, you know, be Iron Man?
Well, I think it's an absolutely ridiculous pick.
No, it's a great pick. I'm not talking about Superman's cape.
I mean, he's always got a... I'm not shocked that you wouldn't anymore.
Hey, you know, I mean, it's like we could just sit here and talk about cars, but I want it to get a little different.
Boy, oh boy. He's got to go with his damn superheroes. That's just ridiculous.
If we were talking movie automobiles, I would have brought some cool cars. But vehicles is broad, so I want to, you know, throw a little variety.
Oh,
it's a spice of life, Rye. Try
all,
some.
All complaints, Jawheads, to Matt Kavinsky.
No, the Jawheads are going to love that pick. They're going to
oh, shit. All right, we swing it over to my number three, and we get very...
Oh, what have you got
here? We get very realistic, down to
earth.
We get
a 1923 Roadster from
all
the
right
movie.
This one came out in 1982. It stars Jeff Bridges. I'm speaking of the movie Tron, and I'm speaking of The Light Cycles.
That is an awesome pick.
That's a great pick.
There you go, Matthew. Yeah, that's what pick. I'm talking about. You know, yeah. I'm not saying you can't have fun with it, but you know, pick Iron Man's armor. That's just an asinine move.
No, it's not. It's an awesome
I'm still
move.
Pissed.
It's an awesome move.
All right, let me
Mine's
talk
got about, repulsor rays.
Yeah, let me talk about The Light Cycles here for a second, though. Obviously, my favorite scene of the original film is the light cycle chase, and you have this fantastic idea that they make these digital walls in their wake as they're driving, and they're trying to cut them off. I mean, it's so original of an idea. It worked as a video game. If you've ever played the original Tron, it worked. And then still when you see it, and they just upgraded it with the new Tron movie, and you got to see it in 3D, it still worked. And the way the light cycles even light up with the handles, woof.
Yeah, and it just you can pretty much carry one in your pocket because it's just a little stick that you put out in front of you, and then the bike sort of
goes
appears.
Around you.
Yeah. So cool.
See? That's what I'm talking
Great
about.
Great vehicle.
All nice right. Pick. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That was my number three. We are into our twos. Nick, what do you got sitting there?
Ooh, number two, it's probably one of my top 10 favorite narrative films. It comes from Fargo, and it's one of the GMs or the Oldsmobile with Truecoat. Got to have that Truecoat.
I love that part.
It comes out of the factory with Truecoat. The manager might be able to knock down $100, but it's going to come with the Truecoat.
I mean, William H. Macy, is he not one of the best car salesmen in movie history?
That we should do that list. There's been quite a few.
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, that is a great pick. Fargo is just a great movie. And actually, even the car in the very beginning when the strangers sort of drive by and they're pulled over, it's creepy. It's a good highway scene and a good car scene as well. So
it's cold.
Awesome. Interesting pick there. We swing it over to Andrew. What do you got sitting at number two?
Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to go with the Duke of New York's Cadillac in Escape from New York.
Yeah. It's one of my
it's just
mentions.
Super weird. It's like a, I don't know, it's like this perfect example of what you can do with nothing. You know, that whole movie is sort of a perfect example of that. It's, you know, it's low budget, but big budget for John Carpenter in that era. And I mean, really, it's just a Cadillac with like chandeliers mounted to the hood, you know, to make it look more more extravagant and more, you know, flashy or something like that. But for whatever reason, that's always stuck with me when the Duke of New York comes around the corner, you know.
It's literally one of the first things I looked up when I heard it was going to be vehicle talk. I was like, I had to YouTube it. I was like, Duke of New York. And I wanted to see what kind of car it was, because I just knew it was a big boat. But
yeah, I think it's a Cadillac. I don't know. Send all complaints to who again? No, but I think it's a Cadillac. And the thing that sticks out is those chandeliers mounted to it. It's just like such a bizarre thing to do as far as production design or something. It's like, well, what can we do to this car to make it look a little more flashy,
right,
for this guy? You know, I'm the Duke of New York, A-1, and I guess it's chandeliers.
Nice pick. I love it. I love it. I love how creative we're getting here, Matt.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. What do you got sitting at number two?
At number two, keeping it creative, because I knew we were going to be recording in this skate. Yeah,
what other superhero movie you guys think of really quick?
This is a good one. This is Brian Kelly's skateboard from the end of Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, damn. I didn't know we could pick that. I didn't know we could pick that.
I looked it up.
I still don't know if that's a vehicle.
Hey, does it have wheels? Does it get you to and
but
fro?
But it's self-powered.
It's a vehicle. It's a bike, not
a
vehicle.
Well, not at the end. It's not self-powered when he's like skitching on that like red Corvette, I think, out on the highway.
And is a bicycle not a vehicle?
Well, I mean, we got to consult more on these lists.
No. This is a skateboard is a freaking vehicle, man. What else could you call it?
A skateboard. A board with wheels.
Right. Oh, well, then you call a bicycle just a metal frame with wheels.
That's what I call it.
No, you don't. It's a vehicle. Listen, at the end of the movie, he has to go and rescue his girlfriend who's been kidnapped by the Vietnamese mafia. And he goes to his friend Yabo's underground bunker. And he's like, dude, I need a new board. You need to build me something. And he gets him this metal deck with these giant wheels. And he's like, tighten those trucks, man. I'm going to go so fast.
It's like reminiscent of the scene in Commando where he's suiting up on the beach, but it's with a skateboard. And they're like putting all that wicked shit on it.
Talking to a guy that has a ramp in his garage. It was pretty pivotal in my life.
same here. I mean, I watched that movie a bunch of times. Wore out the tape. Absolutely a great vehicle moment.
All right, so we're still waiting for Matt to have a vehicle on his list. And that swings us over to my number two.
I had the Johnny Cab.
All right, and at number two, I have the 1983 comedy classic Vacation. I'm speaking of the station wagon in Vacation.
The family truckster.
The family truckster, yeah.
And I swear, if you grew up in the 80s, you more than likely had a station wagon like the Griswolds.
I did.
I sure did.
My mom had a wagon.
Fake paneling and all. I went many, many a road trips to Ohio, to Wisconsin, to Michigan, all around the Midwest.
Sitting in the way back.
Yeah. And we would turn on the tunes. Eye of the Tiger would be on. And we were firing our disc guns and pillow fighting back there. It was a blast.
We called it the backpack.
The backpack?
Yeah. And rolling around. I mean, these days you can't get away with that. Kids have to be in a car seat with their seatbelts. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's probably for the best, but those were such good times.
They were. And ours was the kind that had that big like glass door at the end of the station wagon that like went up. And we would always try to open that while the parents were driving and everybody would be yelling and craziness would ensue. A lot of fun. The Griswolds, and I love they go through East St. Louis and so they get the hubcaps stolen.
Yeah, the iconic scene that I always think of is when he's looking for the gas tank, you know, and it's under the license plate in the back, I think. Yeah.
It's great. That is my number two. We're into our number ones. Have we crossed over yet?
No.
I don't believe we have.
So many great vehicles out there.
Wow, this is good. Nick, you're starting us off. Number one movie vehicle.
Ooh, since we made a documentary, I thought I'd end with a documentary vehicle, and I chose the snowmobile from Happy People, A Year in the Taiga. It's a new Werner Herzog film.
Oh, I have
not
seen it.
This guy, it is his one modern convenience is this snowmobile. And it's pretty stunning. And his dog follows him for miles and miles and miles on this thing. And it's pretty spectacular film, actually. I thought it might be kind of... Well, I'm a Herzog fan for sure.
As am I.
Yeah, me too.
For some reason, I had low expectations, and then it just blew me out of the water. I just loved it. And I think I've seen it like 1.5 times now. Yeah. So
is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it is. And
yeah,
it made me want to
check it out.
Yeah, it made me want to move to Siberia or wherever that's filmed. I think it's Siberia or somewhere far off in Russia. It's very cool. But yeah, all these people live without modern convenience, and you know they're hunters and trappers. And like Nick said, I guess the snowmobile is the one modern convenience. Yeah.
What's the title of the film again?
Happy People. Okay. A Year in the Taiga.
Awesome.
Gonna check that out.
Herzog. That swings us over to Andrew. Andrew, what do you have as your number one pick?
All
as
right.
Werner
number
Herzog
one.
Would say.
I have a good idea what it might be.
Wow. Number one. All right, so my number one pick has got to be The Pork Chop Express from Big Trouble in Little China. It's my favorite movie of all time. I've seen it over probably 300 times. It's kind of disgusting. But it's got to be my number one movie vehicle. You know, it's Jack Burton. Come on. Yeah. Enough said. I'm done.
It's got the microphone. It's got the naked lady mud flaps.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Pretty sure it has some flames on it, or am I mistaken?
No,
on
it's just got that wicked graphic that's like it's like a pig with like an explosion around it, and it just says Pork Chop Express. But yeah, it's got the mud flaps, it's got like the naked lady chrome thing on the, I think on the hood, like a hood ornament possibly, yeah, or something like that. But you know, it's like the vehicle that my favorite adventure started from, I think. So
Awesome pick.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought of it, and I love it. I love the movie. Matt, what do you got sitting at number one?
Well,
please, do the jaw some respect.
I will.
A vehicle.
Ready? This is definitely a vehicle. although when it was first sighted, it was mistaken for a moon. That's no moon. The Death Star. Ring the fucking bell.
I'm not ringing the bell.
I'm going to throw a bottle at you. Thank you. It travels through space. It is a vehicle.
It's a space station.
It's not a station. A station is stationary.
It is a space station. From everybody that would ever, if you asked anybody what the Death Star is, they would all say it's a space station.
Yeah, and they'd be wrong because it travels.
It's not a vehicle.
It's a vehicle. Does it carry people from one point to another?
What's swinging around here? What do you guys think? Would you consider that a vehicle?
It's your show.
Yeah,
I don't
give a damn. I'm putting you on the spot. Would you call it a vehicle?
You know, personally, on my end, I would not. Would you call Deep Space Nine a vehicle? I don't know.
Because Deep Space Nine doesn't fucking move.
But it does if you, in the first couple episodes, they gotta move it. They move it.
Yes, but once they get to their destination,
and we got a whole other episode that we can do spaceships on. I tell you this.
This is just one spaceship, man. Space vehicles. I could have easily said the Millennium Falcon, but I want it to be a little different, Rye. So the Death Star.
I'm
how do you top that?
Jawheads. I might not even make it through the show.
How do you top the Death Star?
I'll top the Death Star. Jesus, what a terrible pick.
No, it moves. It'll blow up your planet, Rye.
Yeah. All right. At my number one, I have a film that came out in 2006. It's very cliche to say that the vehicle is a character in the movie, but in this case, it clearly was. I'm speaking of the Volkswagen minibus from Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
Very much a character in the movie.
I love that. Yeah.
And we're talking, it's an actual vehicle, Matt.
I keep wanting to bash your picks, but you have good ones.
It's not blowing up planets. This is a vehicle that's trying to get over to the beauty pageant, and it never starts. They got to push it all the time, and of course, I love the absolute ending as it built up, as the horn won't stop and they can't stop the car. Mm-hmm. The whole thing's hysterical. So that would be my number one, is the Volkswagen.
I need to revisit that film
from Little Miss Sunshine. It's a total blast. Again, all complaints on Matt's list. Direct them towards Matt. We did have a little time for some
awesome
honorable
list.
Mentions. I did have something from Star Wars, but it's more in the vehicle realm that we're looking at, and that was Luke's land speeder, which was always pretty cool.
So many great vehicles you can pick from Star Wars.
Blues Brothers Dodge Monaco.
Sure.
That's
Blues
a
mobile.
Great one.
Yes.
It's got cop tires, cop suspension, cop engine.
I love it.
Cop tires.
And then, of course, I had the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles car, but was already mentioned. Nick?
I had Ecto-1 Ghostbusters.
Oh,
ambulance
there you go.
It was a tie between the Shaggin' Wagon and the mini bike and Dumb and Dumber. And then probably should have threw this out there. I'm a little disappointed, but the fiber weed van from Up in Smoke.
Well
done.
We missed out on that.
Shoot the moon.
Yeah.
Andrew, what do you got sitting at number one?
All right, so I got Straight Arrow, the custom Dodge van from the movie The Van.
I should say it's honorable mentions.
Yep. Honorable mentions, yeah. Straight Arrow from the movie The Van. Super Van from the movie The Van. Come on, this is all, you know, Van.
Vanin.
Vanin. Right? Yeah. You know, thinking in the spirit there. I got Mad Max's car. I don't know what the hell that thing is.
That's
the,
like, awesome.
Supercharged turbo thing, man. The Mad Max car. The two cars from Tulane Blacktop, which I think one's a Dodge Charger and one might be like a 57 Chevy. That's a good one. The crazy SUV thing from Tango and Cash. That's literally how it's written in this note to myself.
One more.
All right, one more. I'm going to throw it out there. You know that weird Richard Greco movie from the 90s called If Looks Could Kill? Anybody?
Haven't seen it.
All right. Well, no. He's got, like, basically it's a James Bond ripoff, and he's got a James Bond ripoff car that's a Lotus, but it shoots oil and all that stuff.
Nice.
Speaking of James Bond cars, that's number one on my honorables. If you're going to allow me a skateboard, I'd say Marty's hoverboard needs to be mentioned.
Oh, shit.
And
that's a good choice.
I mean, the Nebuchadnezzar from the Matrix films, I really, really liked. And I think that's about it. All my other honorables were taken.
And again, I did mention the DeLorean. We didn't want to beat it to death, but I think it's...
Oh, wait, we're forgetting a huge one here.
It's on my list.
The Batmobile.
Yes.
This is my list was the honorable Batmobile
list.
There
you go. And mine was the DeLorean. Jawheads, if you are listening to this and we missed your favorite movie vehicle and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going. Ooh, what we're going to do is take a break. Yep. I'm going to lecture Matt about his list. And when we come back, Matt will be taking on Nick and Andrew in football coach movie trivia, plus a cinema war looking at baseball versus football movies. We'll be right back on CinemaJaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
CinemaJaw would like to thank Taft Food Masters for sponsoring this week's episode. Taft Food Masters have vegetarian gyros. Demand it at your local Whole Foods. This is great for vegetarians or carnivores who are just looking for a healthier option. Taft Veggie Gyros are fully cooked, pan heat in 60 seconds, are high in protein, low in calories, and have zero cholesterol. And hey, Hollywood, they are all natural, vegan, and kosher too. Chicago-based gyro manufacturer Devonco Foods has just taken on Taft Vegetarian Gyros in addition to their meat variations. Once again, ask your local Whole Foods or health store for Taft Vegetarian Gyros or call 212-664-1974 for samples. Also brought to you by Centauros. Centauros' unique sound has been described by industry insiders as an emotionally powerful vocal style, masterfully united with music that is a fusion of classic 80s rock blended with modern soft rock and pop music. His debut album release will feature a wide variety of musical styles, including soft rock, pop, country, and dance, along with some international flavor. You can check out his latest music video at his YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/SantorosMelogia. And that is SantorosMelogia. And we thank them both for their support of CinemaJaw.
To get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw, hanging out with Nick and Andrew, who have their new film, Vanin, a documentary about the Vanin culture here in this country that was a little forgotten and now is being resurrected, partly because of their great documentary. Again, for the Jawheads that are interested in checking this thing out and supporting some local filmmakers, the best place to do so, guys.
www.vaninmovie.com.
Simple as that, Rye.
Yeah.
It's also on Vimeo right now. You can rent it there, and I highly suggest you do.
I agree. And also, has Vanin got like their own Facebook page and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's our biggest...
We're facebook.com/Vanin Movie. Yep. And we push all of our, you know, releases and information and stuff on there, too. So that's probably really one of the best places.
That's our news
places.
Feed, yeah.
Yeah.
Just an FYI, Jawheads, I am drinking my beer this week out of a Vanin koozie.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it's wonderful. I mean, it's a beautiful little koozie. So definitely check them out on Facebook and support these guys. It's a wonderful film. Me and Matt both watched it. And if I had to grade it on a 4-jaw scale, I'm giving it 3.5 jaws.
Wow. Thanks.
Wow, yeah. That's very generous. Thank you.
Now, how do I get one of my movie quotes from the review on the back of the DVD?
That's all he really cares about, guys.
Oh, man. We'll have to print more, I think.
I love it. These guys are great. Matt, usually this is when we open up the jaw box.
Yeah.
But boy, for the second week in a row, Elias is not with us.
Yeah.
And boy, did we have some technical difficulties.
We pushed him on farther down the line. Let's find out where he is.
I can't wait to hear where he's from. Should we play a call? Did he call in?
Yeah, he did. He sent us a little voice message. Let's play it.
All right.
Hey, Jawheads, it's Elias. Matt was nice enough last week to send me a plane ticket so I could get out of North Canada. I ended up coming to the continent of Africa, which was pretty crazy. I have no idea how Matt got that kind of money. I guess our fivers are doing really well, so I want to thank you guys for that. I was pretty excited when I learned that I was coming to Africa because I just thought that, you know, Matt is such a nice guy. He's so thoughtful because he knows that I love the movie Blended. So, you know, I figured he was sending me to a resort like in the movie, but that wasn't the case. Later he was honest with me and he told me that he sent me here because I once mentioned that the movie Outbreak was pretty cool. And if you know the situation going on over here. Well, anyway, I'm pretty sure I see a cheetah stalking me in the distance, so I should get going, and I'll call you guys next week. All right, bye.
What? Did he say Africa?
Something like that. I mean, it was breaking up a little, but Jesus, man, he must be conserving that phone battery.
It's unbelievable, this guy. Where the hell is Elias Rodriguez going?
Where in the world? We should play that game. Didn't we mention that last episode?
We should. Hashtag where...
Where's Elias?
Where's Elias? And you can win a t-shirt.
There you go.
I want people to start hashtagging where's Elias.
Oh, and Elias, he also sent me a text message.
Oh, this is exciting, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, he also once in a while makes films when he's out of the jaw box, and he's a very talented filmmaker.
And let me tell you, this film, Beverly, has won two different competitions here in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, it won the Indie Incubator, and what was the other one? Do you recall?
I don't recall off the top of my head, and I was there at present.
It doesn't matter. This is an award.
Chicago filmmakers. No, it's not. Sorry.
It's an award-winning film. The name of the film is Beverly, and he's releasing it this Sunday at 5 p.m. And if you follow him on Twitter, and that's at Elias, E-L-I-A-Z, Rod, R-O-D, one word, no underscores or anything, he's going to tweet out the link, and he's really trying to push this. It's a great little movie, and I think you should all check it out.
For sure. And you can watch it. It's awesome. So definitely support Elias Rodriguez. And boy, I can't wait to find out where he goes next week.
Man. I know, because I kind of feel bad about, you know, like shipping him off. It was really funny, though. Just threw a stamp on the box, put it in the mail.
Poor guy. Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this, Jawheads. This is where me and Matt battle on a topic each week. And our guests this week, Nick and Andrew, get to play judge, jury, and executioner and tell the Jawheads who they think won this Cinema War. And it's important because me and Matt are battling for 20 seconds of precious jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. As I said, we got a new movie coming out called When the Game Stands Tall. It's a new football movie. I do not think football does as good as baseball when it comes to movies. That is our Cinema War topic. Matt, you are battling for football movies. Me, Rye, I'm battling for baseball movies. Let the Cinema War begin.
Ryan, you're a major league asshole. Baseball is boring, and as much as I love a good sports flick, the ones about football are simply more action-packed.
No. As a sport, baseball may move slower, Matt, than football, and it may not be as exciting from start to finish. However, it is more dramatic near the end of games, and being more dramatic is always better when it comes to sports movies.
Football, first of all, has replaced baseball as the great American pastime. Movies about baseball aren't really even about baseball. They're about, like, things that happen in, near, or around baseball.
BS. Matt, name one football movie that is in the same caliber as The Natural or Field of Dreams. Impossible to do. Baseball does not make for just good sports movies, but just great all-around films.
Jerry Maguire. Drops mic, walks away. That was my whole point. Go ahead.
Wow.
Yeah, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, tough crowd. Matt,
you had me at hello.
All right, I have touched on dramatic baseball movies, but how about when it comes to comedy? It's no contest either. Major League, A League of Their Own, The Sandlot. No matter serious or lighthearted, baseball is king here.
All right, here we go. Tuck in here, guys. Come on, Rye. On any given Sunday, you can turn on your Friday night lights and get hit in the blind side by a great football movie. I'm going to use some necessary roughness on you because you're just plain Rudy. I'm going to win this cinema war because you're not invincible, and at least that's the game plan. Get with the program. Thinking baseball movies are better is just Bull Durham. I need a water, boy.
Wow. Impressive, Matthew.
Thank you. That was my
way to name a bunch of movies. That's cool.
That was my pun cascade.
Yeah, that was awesome. Really cool. All right. Hey, listen, Matt. Football is just hard to capture on the big screen, and it's such a fast-moving sport with a lot of contact. Baseball takes its time in between pitches and in between innings. This is no contest. It's a grand slam in favor of baseball, and not even pass interference or instant replay can change that call. Baseball for the win.
See, you resorted to puns as well. All right.
Puns all the way around here, guys. Buttonheads, as always, on Cinemore. We throw it to Nick. We throw it to Andrew. What'd you guys think of this Cinemore?
Gosh. Should we have a discussion about this?
Oh, boy.
I mean...
Well, I did like Matt's point about baseball movies not actually being about baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Think it out loud here, guys. I
even
like
the
way
Sandlot.
Yeah, we're working through this. We're working through this.
Even the Sandlot's kind of more of a coming of age story than it is about baseball.
That's true.
Boy, oh boy.
Boy, it's like tough. It's tough being a person that didn't grow up in a sporting household like at all. Like my dad just taught me how to play guitar, so I'm really lost in this. But like, so okay, got to make a judgment here, right? So. I'm gonna go with baseball films.
Nice.
Is Nick
agreeing here?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Sure thing. We're from Michigan, and the Tigers are way better than the Lions. So we'll just baseball. Rye wins.
Damn it. My pun cascade sounded way better on paper.
It was spectacular, Matt, the way it listed all those films. Really, true story. But really, I'll take these 20 seconds at this point, Jawheads, to apologize for Matt's top five list this week. It was absolutely embarrassing. I mean, I apologize because I didn't talk to him enough about the specifics of what exactly a vehicle was. I should have. I blame myself here, Jawheads. I blame myself because I should have been a big brother to Matt and explained to him, we're talking vehicles, like actual vehicles. Don't get too creative.
Well, if we were in a baseball movie.
It's my 20 seconds. This is my vehicle right here, Matt. And I'm telling the Jawheads that Matt screwed up Royal, and I apologize for him. Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry. Won't happen again. That's not a vehicle, though.
All right. Whew. Got that out of my system. Still ticked off. I could have used 40 seconds. All right, it brings us to trivia, and in honor of the film The Game Stands Tall, we are playing Football Coach Movie Trivia. It works like this. Andrew and Nick, you're our guests. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals if the player doesn't know, and if any one of you get hung up on a question, you get one rescue. Rescue me, Ryan. I'll help you out with every one of the questions.
Can I get multiple rescues?
Just one. We'll see how this goes. You guys want to go first or let Matt?
We'll go first, sure.
Yeah. Question number one in Football Coach Movie Trivia. What former pro wrestler starred as the head coach in Gridiron Gang, in which he coached juvenile detention center students? Former pro wrestler.
Jesse Ventura.
Matt, you got a chance for a steal and an early lead.
I don't know, but I'm just going to take a guess and say The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
It was indeed Dwayne Johnson in Gridiron Gang.
16.
Matt K up 1-0. Matt, name the Denzel Washington vehicle in which he...
Well, what's a vehicle?
In which he plays head coach Herman Boone in the film that came out in the year 2000. The only time Denzel Washington played a football coach.
I want to say it's the Death Star, but it might be the skateboard from Gleaming the Cube. We Are Marshall?
Oh boy.
I know what it is.
Yeah, Matt could not remember that one.
Yeah.
You guys got a chance for a steal here.
I'm completely diverting to Nick.
I gave a slight clue there.
I think I've seen this movie.
I gave a slight clue.
Denzel Washington.
If they don't know, let me at least say face.
Alabama, and it has a good soul soundtrack, and I
can't
only
remember
at
this
Friday
point.
Night Lights. I don't know.
He just cannot remember. Nothing.
Does it take place in the past?
Remember the Titans.
It was there Remember it the Titans, yeah. But that was Matt's question. Still only 1-0, Matt K. Here we go. Now let's get real. Here we go, Nick. Question number 3. Friday Night Lights was turned into a critically acclaimed TV show, but what actor played the head coach in the 2004 film?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, right on.
Nailed it. It is tied up 1-1. Now we got a ball game, a football game, if you will, Matt.
Well, at least it's not baseball. We'd be here all night.
Tough crowd. All right, it's 1-1. Question number 4 is over to Matt. Name the head coach in the 1999 film Any Given Sunday.
Was it Al Pacino? Hoo-ah! Say hello to my little friend.
2-1, Matt K. Still anybody's ballgame. All right, over to Nick and Andrew. The Fonz. Henry Winkler himself played a head coach in this 1998 comedy.
The Waterboy?
All right.
Gatorade.
Thank God we're on a team here.
I love it. 2-2. 2-2. Question number 6 over to Matt.
Damn
Matt.
If I'd only remembered the Titans.
This actor did such a great job playing a coach in the Tom Cruise movie, All the Right Moves, that he went on to have his own TV show called Coach. Name him.
Craig T. Nelson.
3-2, Matt K. Boy, oh boy, you can cut the tension in here with a knife or a skateboard. Question number 7 over to Nick and Andrew. Keanu Reeves starred in the 2000 football film The Replacements, but what legendary actor played the head coach in the film? And you do have a rescue if you need it.
It's a legendary actor?
Correct.
The Replacements. I only know their albums. Man, do we need our...
The guy from the Sprite commercials is in that movie. His name's Orlando or something. Who the hell is the coach? I feel like it's Ditka, but he's not an actor.
We might
you have a rescue
we
there.
We should rescue.
We might need the rescue on this.
Whoa!
Rescue me, Ryan.
Whoa! Question number 7. What was the name of the actor who played the head coach in The Replacements? And your clue is Popeye Doyle.
All right, let's talk this out real quick.
Oh, okay. All right. Gene Hackman.
There we go.
Ties it up at 3. It comes down
Gene
to the...
Hackman.
I love it. Great rescue, wasn't it?
It was. It was good. Thank God.
Tied up at 3. It's the last question of the game. Matt can win it or blow it here. Matt, Matthew McConaughey starred as a head football coach once in his career in this 2006 college football movie.
Rescue Me, Ryan.
Whoa!
I forgot I had that, huh?
Question number 8. Name that Matthew McConaughey movie. Matt, your clue is Eminem's first name.
We Are Marshall. Yes. Sorry, guys.
Never even heard of it.
Matt wins this one 4-3. That was a great game.
Yeah. Handshakes from here.
All right.
Boom, boom.
If it was a tie, it came down to a jawbreaker, it would have came down to this, and we would have asked Nick and Andrew this question. It's a true or false tiebreaker. True or false, guys?
Like the 50-50 chance here.
Yeah. If the coach, Mike Ditka, portrayed a head coach in a movie but was only on screen for 3 minutes and only had 4 lines of dialogue, would he still win an Academy Award as Best Actor?
Truth.
True.
Dot Bears.
Yeah.
Sausage.
The real jawbreaker was this. Age of the Fonz himself, Henry Winkler, closest to. Matt, you got a guess?
63.
Ryan, lock him in at 63. Nick, Andrew, what do you guys got here?
Henry Winkler, his true age?
Yep.
I was going to say like 68.
Maybe? I was going to say 60. I think 68 or 69.
He was 68 years old.
Yeah. Right on.
Nice.
See how they save face with that?
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Matt wins this one, though. It was football coach movie trivia, not their strong point.
Jack.
Yeah. You know, I wish I had baseball with Nick's Ramones shirt. I would have been like beat on Rye with a baseball bat. Never mind. It's a Ramones reference.
Yeah.
Way to bring it out on a strong note.
I was going to say.
Yes, it's a great joke.
Boy, oh boy, it does bring us to the end of A Great Jaw. And Matt, first and foremost, we got to thank Nick and Andrew, the directors of the Vannon movie. It's out on DVD, guys. Please support these guys. And the last time, for the Jawheads listening to this that want to buy the movie, get involved or find out more about the movie, everywhere to do so online. Mm-hmm.
VannonMovie.com, Facebook/VannonMovie, or you can buy all of our stuff at littlecabinfilms.bigcartel.com.
And you guys are also on Twitter?
We are not on Twitter. Oh, okay. We do not tweet.
We are on Twitter, but we don't do anything with it.
We haven't touched our Twitter.
Vannon movie.
You should touch your Twitter. It's a lot of fun, guys.
Instagram, though. We are on Instagram, and it's at VannonMovie.
Awesome. We also got to thank the sponsors.
Yeah, I'm going to rattle them off. We had quite a few this week, which is great. I got to thank OnScribe. Got to thank Taft Foodmasters, Santoros. Thanks again. And let's not forget that book, Deals Gap by D.H. Weems.
Yeah, that was all the way at the beginning. It's been a long show. Also, before we run out of here, we are doing the Cinema Jaw Riddle. Again, if you know the answer to this riddle, shoot us a tweet, hit us up on Facebook, or an email at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com, and you will be entered to win Vannon, the movie, on DVD, plus a prize pack of your choosing. Matt, one more time, the riddle.
I have made my own car. At times, I like to leave my robe on. I have robbed banks with a guy who played Dirty Harry, and just a few years ago, I played a guy with one eye. Who am I?
Oof. Get those tweets out to us, Jawheads. Until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.